Hello, friends. How is everyone tonight? Come on in. I'm gonna get myself set up here, pop out the Q&A in case anybody has any questions. I hear MJ on Wednesday's calls going, they move things around. Well, they do. They really do. Hello, Susan. Hello. Hello, everyone. All right. So we are here to talk about how to feel the hard stuff. And as you come in, I thought I would talk to you just a little bit, just for a moment, about meditation. Anybody here meditate? Thumbs up, heart. Thumbs down, maybe, right? Meditation is interesting. I used to be like a, I don't get meditation person. I would go into a quiet place. I'd sit on a, chair. I'd close my eyes and I'd try to keep my brain calm and I would almost always go to sleep. And I'm like, I'm not so sure I'm doing this right. I'm getting this right. Well, somebody finally told me I was, that it was okay to do that. But I never really understood it until, like Zeal in the chat, I discovered guided meditation. Okay, now this can be on the Calm app, it can be a sleep story, it can be anything, but I do love a guided meditation. I love it when, they tell me what to visualize, what to picture. And I think I discovered guided meditation at camp. Anybody been to camp and heard the camp meditation? It's pretty visual and it's pretty extraordinary. So when I started doing this nervous system stuff, I started talking to people a little bit about, do you meditate? And why would you meditate? Well, what meditation does is it focuses your brain, it narrows your focus on exactly what you want to think about and what you want to visualize. So if you're like me and your brain's always going ping, 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 right? A guided meditation, a focused guided meditation gives you clarity. And it helps calm your brain. And when you can calm your brain down, you can also calm your nervous system down. I had a client, actually, she's been a client twice. She worked with me, left for a little while, came back for a little while. She used to do I think it was a 15 or 20 minute meditation. Now, I've never done a meditation that long, but she would do it every morning. And the rest of the day, she would feel cool as a cucumber. Her day went well. She didn't get upset. She didn't stress out as bad, all the things. If she didn't do her meditation, her day could go to hell in a handbasket and a New York second. So, meditation is practice for your brain to be calm and to do the things you want it to do. And it works ahead of time. Now, why am I telling you all this about meditation? By the way, nobody's hands are raised. So, I'm going to need somebody to raise their hands so we can coach tonight. Okay. Why am I telling you about? Thank you. Why am I telling you all this about meditation? If you are listening to the Corinne 365s, I've got the Wednesdays, and I almost always talk about some aspect of safety or how to create safety around what we're studying or something like that. But I have also done a few meditations and put them in there. I am taking those files and linking them to the nervous system resource page. So if you don't know, there is a page on the website under resources that has nervous system videos in it. It explains how the very top video explains how urges and emotions affect your nervous system, or how urges are affected by your nervous system. Has a few short videos, a couple of resource cheat sheets. Doesn't have a lot on there, but it has good stuff. And then you go down to the bottom and it says, click here to go to the meditations page. Click over there, and there are right now four guided meditations on that page. One is about creating resilience. One is a grief meditation that somebody specifically asked me to put up there that I had done on the grief call. One is about ease, finding ease. And the other one is an upcoming 365 for next month about your future self, about how to envision your future self. So, all that is out there for you. I encourage you to listen and see if anything like that is helpful, does let you calm your brain, does have an effect on your nervous system. Everybody's different. Meditation might be just the thing for some people, and like, I got nothing for others, but you got to try to figure it out, right? Okay, let's get to coaching. I've got two hands raised. Thank you so much, Zeal. You are first. And I'm just going to warn y'all, the pollen in Tennessee is righteous, and I can feel sneezes coming. So hopefully I'll mute myself in time. Hello.
Hello, hi Kathy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Is Zeal correct? Am I saying that correctly? Is that your name?
Actually, I still need to change that name. My name is Salma. I emailed you before.
Salma.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I was actually waiting for this call so I can get some coaching about regulating myself because that's one thing I'm struggling with. So I'm just to give you a quick background, I am type 1 diabetic and
Think I
I've
have talked to you. Wait a minute. I think I have written coached with you. Just saying. Okay.
I'm
But
glad you
tell
remember
everyone, type 1 diabetic.
I struggle a little bit when my blood sugar goes high or spikes, even if it's just a little bit. And usually, like the correct thing to do is to like give a logical dose and like handle it logically. But my problem is that I get very anxious when I know that it's high. Like, of course, there's a little bit of physical part to it, but sometimes if I don't know that it's high, I'm fine. Once I know, I'm very anxious and trying to bring it down quickly, and then I overreact, and then it goes down very quickly, and then I'm forced to eat, and then it just completely messes up my hunger and enough goals that I'm trying to. So I wanted to get some help on how to, or some tools on how to regulate that better. I've tried the pause, and it helps. But I think I need more tools in my toolkit to tackle that.
So, is the anxiety brought on as a physical feeling, like in your body, or is it brought on because of what you're thinking about your blood sugar, or both?
I think it starts with my thinking because I think, oh, it's gonna go. It's if I don't correct right now, it might go even higher. Okay, what should I do? Like, how I should do like bring it down now? But and then I'm like, but I need to think about what insulin I already have on board and like not. So I it's like I when I have these thoughts, I then start to feel myself getting anxious and my heart kind of beating fast a little bit.
100%. And then you don't help it because your brain keeps pinging on the, all the things about the anxiety. And then tell me how it feels in your body. Tell me how does anxiety show up in your body?
I think the prominent, I'm not so sure, but I think the prominent feeling that I feel is my heartbeat getting faster. That's what I'm feeling. And I'm feeling like on edge, like I need to do something. Like I need to fix something.
So antsy, kind of antsy feeling, antsy feel kind of feeling. How about your breathing? You're breathing nice, long, deep breaths, Soma.
No, of course not.
No, right? So I've noticed this about myself with anxiety. It's almost like the fix, if you will, using air quotes. I don't even want to call it the fix, but the way to regulate around anxiety a lot of times is twofold. It's somatically doing things to calm your body, but it's also cognitive, doing things to regulate your brain, to calm your brain down. If you try and do one without the other, you're not going to be as successful, right? If you focus too much on what's creating anxiety, or you try too hard to fix it, or you ruminate over it with your thinking, you're just gonna perpetuate the anxiety, no matter whether you're trying to deep breathe or sit in the sunshine or do whatever calms you, right? You're just gonna keep it churned up. So when you feel a spike in your insulin, or when your mon do you wear mon I guess you wear a monitor, right? When your
I
monitor
do.
goes off, What do you, it just hypothetically speaking, what do you think you can try to do to prevent, cycling through all these anxiety thoughts? What do you think you can do, try to do or think?
I think what worked sometimes in the past is when I took a pause and then thought to I reassured myself that it will come down. I just need to calculate the logical dose and it will come down with time. I just need to stop, keep looking at it or like trying to do something. Like I just need to be patient. And when I like reassured myself that it will come down, like worst that will happen is that will go up a little higher and I will do the correct action then. I guess when I reassured myself like that, that worked.
Has it
But
ever not come down?
no, it always comes down
Right,
eventually.
right, right.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a little
Longer.
figuring it out, right? A little extra, I'm guessing insulin or whatever it is that
Yeah,
you medicate with,
or
or
time where
time.
I'm stuck in that high. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something else you can tell yourself. I always figure this out. This is it, I'm going to be okay because I know what to do, right? You can, put on your best Kathy voice and tell yourself those things, right? And then when you bring the anxiety level down through your thinking and through your body, guess what comes back online? That conscious brain, logical thinking, executive functioning, whatever you want to call it, comes back online and it says, okay, we need this dose. Probably need to go sit down for a little while, take a drink of water, whatever it is that you do, calm down, because we know we always figured this out. We know how to manage this. How long have you been type 1 diabetic?
Since I was 15 years old, I'm now almost gonna be 30. So,
Almost going to be 30. So half your life
half my life, yeah.
you have managed
Yeah.
diabetes. Okay.
And
Have you
actually,
always?
I'm not bad at it. Like my numbers are not bad. It's even gotten better recently that I've been eating lower portions with the Hunger and Enough, and it's been making my blood sugar way better in general. But just sometimes it's unpredictable, like with any diabetic. So yeah, it's actually I'm not that bad at handling it in general.
So when you say sometimes it's unpredictable, does that feel okay to say?
Well, there's a little fear around it because I hate the unpredictability. Like I want to know what to do when I get stressed or like that affects it. When I'm
Yeah.
not
Yeah.
sleeping enough, that affects it. So I'm like, there's always something unpredictable that happens, and it just doesn't feel safe, I guess, when that
Okay.
happens.
So there's some work for you to do right there. How can you build a little safety around sometimes something unpredictable happens? Right? So if something unpredictable happens, like you react to stress instead of food, what do you do?
So you're saying if I'm reacting to stress instead of food, what do I do to handle that without food, you mean?
Yeah, if you're having an insulin reaction to stress instead of food, right? Because stress can be unpredictable, right? Right? What do you do?
I then know that it's probably gonna be a day where I'll need a little bit more insulin and I need to walk a little more or do some more activity to kind of help make that insulin more effective and maybe drink some water. Like it's all physical things. Yeah, it's all physical.
So when life is filled with unpredictabilities that we have to figure out, sometimes we have to pivot, around. And you just told me how you would pivot around a stressful situation that jacked your insulin. So you know what to do. Right? So how can you? Do you see where I'm going with this? See, You know what to do even if the situation is unpredictable, right? Even if you're, well, I ate a candy bar, of course my insulin is up. Or, I've eaten great. What the heck is wrong with my insulin? Either way, you know what to do. Because you have the insulin monitor that goes off, right? The sugar, the glucose monitor, sorry, glucose monitor that goes off. And regardless of the reason it goes off, you react with whatever you need.
Yes, there's always a protocol or something that I can do. But I guess, well, okay, well, that kind of actually made me realize something. I'm more afraid of the feeling that I will have when I'm stuck in the high. Like I'm afraid of the physical symptoms that come with it, and I don't want to be in it for long. Like I want to get it down quickly, and usually that's wrong. The right way is to be patient with
Okay.
it.
Why are you afraid of the high, of staying in the high?
Because it feels like physically uncomfortable. It actually does feel physically
Okay.
uncomfortable.
Okay.
But sometimes I'm not even that high, like I'm a little high, but I'm afraid of going even higher and then being very physically uncomfortable when it does. So,
And when you layer on fear to a little bit of high glucose, what happens?
Yeah, it goes even higher.
So I think it would be normal to not want your glucose to be messed up, to be high or low or, out of the range a type 1 diabetic needs. Okay. But I think what you have to do is reassure yourself that you know what to do, that it is an uncomfortable feeling. Girl, we got uncomfortable feelings all the time, right? Yeah. Sometimes they're hunger that we can't satisfy. Sometimes we've eaten too much and that's uncomfortable. Sometimes we get a little lightheaded because our sugar's low. Sometimes, do you have any children?
No, not yet.
Okay, you want to talk about uncomfortable? Let's talk about pregnancy, childbirth, right?
I'm afraid of that when that time comes,
Well,
but
as a type 1 diabetic, I encourage you to be very medically careful. But the point is, discomfort is part of our world, and it's part of your world as a diabetic to learn how to manage the discomfort, to not fear the discomfort, because the discomfort is signaling a biological need. And for you, it could be insulin. It could be, a piece of candy. If you're low and uncomfortable, whatever it is, discomfort is signaling a need. To fear discomfort is only going to raise your anxiety and get all of your hormones out of whack, right?
Yes, that's true. That actually does happen.
Yeah, for sure. So again, we're back to how can you create safety around responding to a glucose monitor going off and the discomfort that comes with it. And you do that by how you think about it and whatever body-centric tools that you have, whether it's you eat something or you take a walk or you have a Coke or whatever it is that you need to do to specifically for you, uniquely for you, to feel for your body to feel better, but you also have to work that mind too. So you're telling yourself, I've been doing this half my life. I know what to do. This is a diagnosis that I've learned how to manage. I have protocols when my monitor goes off that I look into. Do you see how it's twofold? Where you calm the body and you calm the mind.
So I guess it's all about reassuring myself, basically, right? Taking a pause to do that mental reassurance, as well as whatever physical need I or regulation that I can do as well.
So if we're just talking about anxiety outside of type 1 diabetes, for me, what I do is I take a walk and I calm my brain because I feel very jittery when I'm anxious. My skin crawls. I get I get really antsy, like I can't sit still. So if I burn some of that anxiety energy off and I calm my brain, calm my mind either with a meditation or a gratitude practice or reassurances that I know that I know I'm going to come out the other side of it and it's going to be okay. I always do. I figure this out. It might take a minute, but that's okay. Then that's how I manage anxiety. And usually, it might take a minute, but usually the electricity, the tension, drops. So if you can manage the anxiety, it's going to help you, and the fear, which they're very close to the same thing, right? Anxiety and fear. If you can manage those two things, managing the insulin and the glucose numbers is going to be even easier for you, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. It's really affected by fear and stress and even like even if I'm working and getting stressed over work, like it's the same thing. Like it will affect my sugars, it will affect because my anxiety goes up. So if I and I'm usually very like I'm anxious a lot of the time or a lot of the day. So if I can manage an anxiety, that would definitely make a difference in everything.
Yeah. Do you do meditation? Do you meditate?
I'm guilty of wanting to but not getting to it. So I do it sometimes when I can't sleep and it really helps me sleep. That's when I usually do it.
Yeah, you know why? Because it calms and focuses your brain. Right? Seriously. Do you rush in the morning, or do you have time in the morning to take
No,
care of?
usually I'm like up and working right away. But if I manage to sleep a little bit earlier, I can have a little bit of time in the morning if I manage to do that.
I would encourage you just to try a morning meditation, 3 or 4 minutes. Not It doesn't have to be long, doesn't have to be mine. It can be off the Calm app, it can be off YouTube, whatever your meditation vehicle of choice is, and just see if you can see if that helps you through the day. Because I'm going to tell you, when I if I get up and I'm rush, guess what comes with me when I come into this office? Too much energy. Right? But if I get up and I drink my coffee and I take my shower and I do all of the things that take care of me when I come into this office, I'm cool as a cucumber and ready to go. So sometimes that includes meditation. Sometimes for me, it includes prayer. Whatever it is for you, and y'all, all y'all, religious folks out there like me, prayer is a kind of meditation. Because you close in,
I
you
agree.
concentrate on that, right? Anything you can do for yourself that sets your day up that way is going to help you throughout the day.
Okay, I'll definitely try it starting tomorrow to wake up and just do a 3-4 guided meditation. There's usually ones on YouTube, right? I think
I bet
I'll
you can find one. I bet you can. There's one of the famous. So, did you know my husband is a yoga teacher? Yeah.
Nice.
65-year-old man is a yoga teacher. It's awesome. It really is. He gives me periodically, he'll give me meditations that he's used, and they're good. The one that's on the website, the meditation for strength and resilience, is one that he gave me.
Nice.
So,
Oh, I'm looking forward to try that then.
all right, you
Well,
good?
thank you so much. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you,
Will
Coach
you
Kathy, for that.
write to me and ask coaches in a couple of days and let me know how you're doing?
Definitely, I will. Thank
Sounds
you so
good, my
much.
man. All right, take care.
Bye.
Wow, I think she just left, which saved me some clicks. Awesome. Debbie, then Cheryl. Get your video started. All right, so we'll get you to unmute and get that video started. Hi, there you are.
Hi.
How are
Yeah,
you?
there's 8 million things to click through to get it to finally turn on.
I know. I know.
Yeah, it's
How are
always
you?
weird.
How can I help you?
Well, I think I have like I am I'm realizing just a little bit of backstory. I lost my weight back. I think I finally reached goal about 2019. I was at camp and kept it off for a while and decided, oh, this was amazing, and I was going to start working on other things. And I did some I either coached with Betsy or I coached with you. I can't remember, one-on-one. And one of you had this. I remember working with one of you
It must have been
for
Betsy
about
because
3 months.
I don't remember you. Must have been
I mean,
Betsy.
it was a while ago, so there's that. But I do remember, I think you had to sub in for the call, and it was a little bit weird because what I've been working on has to do with couples and sexual things, and it was just sort of one of those things of like, all of a sudden now I'm working one-on-one with this one coach, and then I think you came in and I was like, oh, gosh. Anyway, I've continued to work on that, but it's I don't know, nothing is therapists, individual therapy, coaching, all of that. That other project has been a bust. I'm still, very happily married otherwise, but there's a lot of things that are not working with that. And in the frustration of that, I gained about half of my weight back. And so when I started, my clothes just were really uncomfortable, and I, then got on the scale and I was like, oh crap. So I rejoined last August. And managed to stop the regain. I've taken the regain course. I've cleaned up a lot of the things that I was doing that were sending me over. And now, what I'm realizing as I look at my lovely data, I am drinking too much. Not every day, but I would say that when I track my hunger and enough, I would say I kind of have almost the opposite of what I think the intention of this call is. I'm super calm. I know how to bring myself down. I meditate very quickly. I can do short meditations and breathing, and yet my life is missing, I would say, some of the I don't know, some of the highs and the excitement. And I'm finding that, my weekends are spent with drinks and friends, and I've tried to not drink or have just maybe one or two over the course of from a lunchtime to late in the evening. And it's just not, it's like I'm seeking that high. I'm seeking that excitement, and I'm not finding other ways to do it. So my alcohol use has been propping that up, and I haven't. I started the drinking course that you guys have, and I don't know. I guess I'm like
It's
I feel
pretty
like
old.
it's
It's pretty old.
outdated, and I don't really understand. I'm missing something there that
No,
it's not helping me.
it's pretty old.
So.
I would, if I were you, I would take the emotional eating course and just sub in drinking. Okay.
Okay.
Because if you are, it's like, so many of us look to food for comfort, relief, love, whatever it is. When you're looking to food or drink for those emotions, you're not giving them to yourself for some reason, right? That's the gap is
Right.
you're getting it from, tell me what your drink of choice is. Wine, beer,
Cider, like a
cider.
hard
Okay.
cider. Yeah.
You're
Or a
getting
good
your
beer.
love from
Yeah.
the hard cider, right? We have a cidery here in Nashville that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
So is that what's happening?
I mean, I don't know if it's that. I just noticed that. I mean, obviously, alcohol does this amazing thing of getting rid of those inhibitions. So all of a sudden, it's like things are more fun because I'm able to act like I feel like I access my emotions when that alcohol's in my system. So I can actually feel things for real
What
that
do you
I
feel?
don't.
What do you feel that you don't feel when you're drinking? Sorry, what do you feel when you're drinking that you don't feel otherwise?
Right. I heard the question. I think
Okay.
you meant it. I would say that I feel a lot more freedom. I just
Okay.
feel free. I feel like, yeah, I mean, I would guess that's probably the main thing that
Okay.
I think yields everything else. You know,
Okay.
I'm free to interact or to, like, if I'm out and about, I definitely have a lot, feel a lot freer to, I don't know. I make a fool of myself probably for a living. I'm a teacher, so there's that. But I definitely am much more willing to make a fool out of myself in other spaces,
Okay.
with a few drinks in me. If there's like a band playing, I'm gonna embarrass myself dancing and all that sort of
So
stuff.
why don't you feel freedom when you're not drinking?
I mean, I can tell myself I'm free, but I don't act it. It like I it, it's almost as if I don't have access to the parts of me that even think about dancing weird or blurting out the thing that is in the back of my brain that, because it's not even in my conscious mind
Okay. Why
most of the
not?
time. So like
Why is it
I don't know.
important?
I don't
Why is it important to have that?
to have those thoughts out there, or
Why is it important to, why is it important, or why is it something you want to dance crazy and blurt thoughts? And why is this the person that you're looking for? And why is she not available to you without cider?
well, it's definitely a lot more fun to be that person. Like, I enjoy her more. I definitely get social feedback that she's more fun. And then what was the second question?
But why is that part of you not available to you if unless you've had cider, unless you're drinking?
That is a good question. Like, I don't feel like I actively. I'm going, oh, you know, like I'm really worried what people think. I don't really, I don't have that feature. Consciously, I guess. I would say that there, one other thing about the dancing, there's also just like a thing that's happened is like I definitely have some pain that goes away with the alcohol in
Oh
some of my
yeah,
joints and
look,
things.
alcohol
Yeah,
dulls
that's
everything.
great.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
alcohol
mean, it's
dulls,
like the
it
pain,
dulls hunger, it dulls enough, you know, it dulls
the
pain, it dulls
pains,
inhibitions.
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, now why don't I have access to that without, like, I don't know how, I don't have a sense of what's stopping me. Because
If I
I've
were
tried to fake it and just go, like, I'm just going to drink bubble water with lime in it and pretend that it's this thing.
Could you
I've
do
even
that?
done things like, yeah, I've done it, and the thing is I don't, I don't, I'm not that person.
I'm not that person.
Like it's almost like my brain doesn't have access to the chatty, funny, really, I become like the person in the circle who just sits around and laughs at other people's jokes, but like my brain is not on it. Whereas like when I'm a little bit looser, it's like I can think of all this, you know, I can think of something funny to say. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it accesses a part of me that I don't, I mean, this is why I'm saying I feel like I'm very good at moderating, and I'm so good at it that it's like an unconscious thing that I don't know how to like put that away when I
Okay.
want to.
If I were to tell you, Debbie, I will give you $20,000 if you act like you are drinking tonight without drinking. Could you do it?
Oh, sure.
Oh, so
I
you can
do
access
it.
it.
I can, but it doesn't feel the same. I'm faking it.
Some
Right? I can
stuff,
act
right?
like a fool. Like, I mean, I
So how
do it
is
as a
it?
for a
How
living.
is it? So how is it faking it when you're not drinking and not faking it when you are? You see, there's still the piece of you. There's something about what you think about the person you can be when you're not drinking that totally wipes out and gets distracted from when you are drinking.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, here's what I would say is if that $20,000 on the line was, am I as funny or as engaged as I am when I've been drinking, I probably wouldn't get the full amount. Can I dance like a crazy person or like do physical things like I'm drunk? Other than like you might notice that I don't know. I might be moving a little slower because my hips hurt.
Yeah, because you're feeling the pain of
Something
the
like
hip.
that. Right. Yeah. Maybe if
Right.
I can pop some Tylenol or something instead, it'll be okay. But no, I mean, I think that there is a difference, but yeah, I mean, I guess I just don't. Yeah, I
What
don't know. You're on to something, but I don't know what
grade do
it
you
is.
teach? What grade do you
I'm a high
teach?
school teacher.
High
I
school.
teach high school math.
You ever do silly things in your classroom for your kids?
All the time.
Yeah.
I make a fool of myself all the time.
Are you in the cider at school?
No.
Do your kids think you're funny? Do they?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
yeah.
So you can access that part of you.
Yeah, that's not the same part, but okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not the
It's
same.
not, I
How's
mean,
it different?
Because that's a performance. When I'm up in front of a crowd, I'm perform like in, if I'm in front of the classroom, I'm performing, I'm
And you.
delivering. I've also planned it out.
Okay.
And I've been doing this since 1991. So
So
I've
the in
got
the
that
club
part.
with the laughter, and that's not a performance.
You mean with hang out with friends and stuff? No, not as much. It's much more of a spontaneous paying attention to like the live situation. And yes, as a teacher, I'm paying attention to it, but not in the same way because I'm running the show as the teacher.
Well,
Yeah.
there's a difference. Are you running the show when you're not drinking?
Yeah. Yeah.
There is
Right.
something you think about, and it could be as simple as, I'm not as fun unless I'm drinking, that prevents you from accessing that piece of you that's already in there. It just comes out easier because the inhibition's lower.
Right.
All right. So there's part of you that is suppressing that for some reason. And we know it's in there because you can activate it without drinking for your class. Even though it's planned, it's okay. I bet you,
Yeah.
I bet you 100% of the time when you're a goof in front of your kids, it's not planned. Not 100% of the time. Sometimes you're just a goof.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you make them laugh. I totally give it to you that inhibitions do lower when you've been drinking. But I also want you to really think about this person. It's still part of you. The person that's out there and funny and all that kind of stuff, whether it's in a classroom or with friends, is still part of you. There's just something, some shield, some thought, something in you, some belief in you that prevents her from showing up or dulls her just a little bit. And it
Right.
could be something as simple as, I'm just not as much fun unless I'm drinking. If that is a core belief of yours, that's the one to work on.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Is that hitting anything?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that that statement there is feels just plainly true. So, yeah, obviously.
So there's the truth to it, right? There's that
Yeah.
when you attach truth to a thought, it becomes a belief. It becomes a
For
core
sure.
belief. Yeah.
Right.
But it is just a thought because,
Right.
you know, you and I could sit down and over a glass of I don't know, Pellegrino, and have a great, I haven't have a lovely conversation and laugh and be fun, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You don't think
Yeah.
so?
No. I was writing it down. So sorry.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I mean, I think that there's something to work on there in terms of the trying to, like, I don't know, get that belief, just getting a little breathing space that it's just a thought, it's just a belief,
Yeah, I can tell you how to give
it's
it a
not
breathing space.
fact.
Okay,
Okay.
let me tell you.
Love some suggestions. Yeah.
I notice I'm thinking.
Right.
I notice I'm thinking I'm not as much fun unless I'm drinking.
Right.
Okay, that creates the space. Or
Right.
I see that, this is happening or that I'm thinking this. I notice I'm thinking it creates enough space to call it a thought. And to acknowledge it as something that you're thinking.
Right.
That's what starts. I want you to picture like a little guy with a little like a mallet and a chisel, and he's just tapping on it, trying to crack that belief. That's how you start
Right.
cracking that belief, okay? And then when you get really good at noticing you're thinking, you can add a but to the end of the sentence that says, "But my kids at school think I'm funny."
Right.
Okay, and that begins to disprove, begins to kind of wiggle the thought. So you have, I notice I'm thinking I'm not as much fun unless I'm drinking, but my kids laugh at me and I don't drink at school. Right?
Right. Yeah.
And
Yeah.
so the more of those statements, the more you catch the thoughts and start with, I notice I'm thinking, and you stop. We used to have a coach who used to say, slap a butt on the end of it.
Yeah.
And an alternate thought, the more you begin to crack a core belief like that.
Okay.
Okay. So another one you could try is, I notice I'm thinking I'm not as much fun unless I'm drinking, but I really want to lose weight. So maybe I'd like to try cutting back and see how that
Yeah.
works. You know, is it
Yeah.
kind of, you kind of just massage it around like that and see what evidence you can create for yourself that supports the fact that that person who's fun when she's drinking is still in you. You just got to find her. Got to know how to access her.
And then in terms of maybe the less fun person and the more vulnerable person, that's equally more accessible with the inhibitions down.
Yep.
That one's definitely been a little bit harder because I can under everything you've said about being funny and being in a that kind of upper end of things. I go, okay, I can get my head around that. I can figure out how to work on that. But the having difficult conversations with my husband, which is this ongoing thing that I've been working on, forever, that one seems a little bit less. Because I would just say in general, I don't do that at work. I'm
Okay.
not funny at work. I'm
I would
not
offer
a
you this about vulnerability. You're more
no.
vulnerable when you're sober because you can feel it in your body. You can feel the conversation in your body. When you're several ciders in, you just word vomit, right? It's just easy. And you're probably, if you're like me, I can tell you, if you're like me, I'm not as careful with my words.
Yeah.
So I get more defensive, I get more accusatory, all that kind of stuff. If I'm trying to have a
Sober.
no drinking.
Oh, I'm that way when I'm sober.
Drinking. When I'm sober, I'm much more in charge. Executive functioning is much more in line, and I'm much more thoughtful about what comes out my mouth.
Right, like, and that's what happens is then nothing comes out of my mouth.
Interesting. Okay.
Right, so like my willingness to even be vulnerable or to feel something hard,
Right.
that alcohol gives me the sense of like, oh, you have permission to
Yeah, that's not
be
vulnerability.
less
Yeah.
than perfect.
That's not vulnerability.
Okay.
Vulnerability is that sober piece of you that's afraid to speak, that's afraid to crack it open and be vulnerable. The piece that's drinking is not vulnerable at all. She's just all in and out there. She's like, here I am. She's not vulnerable at all. You see what I'm saying?
I see. I sort of, except I would say that like sober me doesn't even have like it. Sober, I don't say much at all. I won't talk about difficult things.
You won't access vulnerability,
I've got, yeah.
authenticity.
So like I don't, right? Yeah, so like, if I have a couple of drinks, then I can access sort of the thoughts and things that are painful and hard,
Correct.
and my and access my things that I'm not doing right.
Access or speak? Do you have access to them when
Both.
you're sober? And you just don't
I
speak them?
know, because like it means sobriety. I am like queen of the fucking universe, pardon my French, but like
That's okay.
there it is. It's like that's who I am. And this is, I run everything. And I
So
don't do that.
the shield of sobriety dulls, just like it dulls that fun part of you. It also dulls the part of you that wants to have conversations and feel deep feelings,
Right.
right? So
Right.
your feeling spectrum when you're sober is about this wide.
Right.
When you're drinking, it's like this wide. So the
Yes.
goal isn't to always drink to have a wide spectrum. The goal is
Exactly.
to increase your spectrum while you're sober. And you do
Okay.
that by allowing yourself, practicing allowing yourself to feel more feelings. To what was that? What was that? I notice I'm thinking I'm not fun. How about I
Yeah.
notice I'm thinking I can't access my feelings? So what am I feeling right now? Like right now, what do you have you had any cider tonight?
No.
Okay.
No,
But
I don't drink during the week.
what are you feeling right now?
I would say I have a little bit of a little anxiety.
Okay.
Little I mean, like I have a little bit of excitement because I have something that I can work on, which is always good.
Okay.
But then I have this like sort of pit in like I've got a pit in my stomach about this other piece of like, yeah, how do I do this thing and
Okay.
feel
And
I feel unsettled about it.
unsettled. Okay. On a
Yeah.
scale of 1 to 10, how unsettled are you?
Like it is one
One low
like
and high.
okay. I'd probably say I'm about a 3 or 4.
A 3 or 4. Okay. Have you been that unsettled this entire call? Because when you went, I'm queen of the effing universe. What was that?
Right.
Was that unsettled? Or was that like,
No,
that was
that's
emotional?
that is an expression of the shield that I carry most of the time, of my sobriety shield,
Okay, but it
right?
was emotional.
Oh, sure.
You raised your voice. You were, your body was into the
Yeah.
statement, right?
Yes. But
So,
that wasn't coming from unsettledness.
right.
That's coming from probably more of a protection place.
Okay. So now we have two emotions, protective and unsettled. I think I would love for you to download an app called what is it called? How We Feel, How I Feel. Anybody
Oh,
know?
I have it, I think. I think.
Oh, do you?
Don't I?
Where
Yeah. And
it's
it's
got
got the
the,
four quadrants.
yep.
Yeah.
Want you to build a feelings inventory.
Okay. Because
Okay.
I've tried it and it just doesn't, I don't know if there's like a paid version that's supposed to work better or something.
Nope, it's
Yeah, how
free.
we feel. It's this little heart thing. Oh, okay. Whatever. How are you
Yeah,
feeling this
it
afternoon?
gives you
Yeah.
unpleasant High energy, unpleasant, low energy, pleasant, high
Right.
energy, unpleasant. And all you do is you figure out which one you're feeling in that moment, and it kind of scores it for you, it kind of keeps tracking. But you have to
Right.
do it. You can't just pull it up and go, okay, I got to do that app. Thump, shield,
No,
right?
no. Right.
You got to get on there, and it will give you the name and how it feels in your body so that you can bring it all together.
Yeah,
Right?
because it never said anything about what I could just like do the thing and then I go like, okay, so I'm feeling meh.
Meh.
And yeah. And it just says add a journal entry. I don't know, like, and then it's asking for what does that feel like? It doesn't offer. Am I missing something? Right.
No,
So I'm like, I'm hanging out.
so I'm looking at my app. I'm
I'm
checking
calling you a
in.
friend. I'm
I
at
am.
home. Add physical sensations.
Okay. So I'm here with the four circles,
Yeah.
and I'm going to say I'm high
So I went.
energy, unpleasant, just for fun. And it gives me all these. I'm a pick hyper. Okay. And when I pick hyper, because this is hyper for me. I'm sorry. When I pick hyper at the
No,
very
that's
bottom,
fine.
down here, it says feeling energetic and like you want to move around. Right? So it gives you a little bit of an explanation about how it feels in your body. And then you can just complete check-in. You can add what are you doing and all that kind of stuff and complete check-in it.
Yeah,
And what
that's what
it
I was
does
saying.
is it gives you, it just gives you a catalog of the things you know how to feel. So then after a week or two, you can go back in and go, well, gosh, I never clicked hyper. I wonder how that feels. And just kind of work on expanding your feelings inventory. The other thing you can do is when you journal, you can say, today I feel this and here's why. Okay. And I want you to really try to come up with a different feeling every day. Because the more you can allow yourself, yeah, right? The more you can access your feelings, the more vulnerable, authentic, less protective you're going to be. Because what you're doing is you're making, this sounds hokey, you're making friends with them. Okay. You're realizing that it's okay to feel them. Okay. And so on the flip side of, we handled the I'm not fun part. On the flip side of, I don't know what to say, and I don't know how to talk to my husband and all that kind of stuff, unless I'm drinking, there is a shield there, a protective shield that's not allowing you access to that. And so that's what you have to break down. Okay.
Got it.
That makes sense.
And you never know. It's like sometimes if you just work one end, the other end also shows its way.
Yeah. I will say this. There are a lot of us out there that are afraid to feel our feelings. And a lot of it comes from growing up, stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about, which is what I heard from my parents. And they were not, I mean, they were fine. They just didn't know how to manage emotion. We grew up in a time where, everybody was, peace, love, and, flower children, right? I did.
And the
So,
intellect dominates. You have to be
exactly.
smart,
Exactly.
and your emotions are just a distraction.
Exactly. So we have to unwind some of that to actually live full color lives. That's what I call a full color life. When we can feel our emotions and realize that all they are is a little bit of sensation in our body, then our lives are in living color instead of narrow and out of focus and maybe black and white. Okay. You're living full color life when you've had your cider, when you're drinking on the weekends, right?
For
The
sure.
way to bring that into the weeknights when you're not drinking is to expand your ability to feel. Okay.
Okay.
All
Thank
right.
you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Cheryl, you're next. Audrey says, I'm late to the call, but Kathy, you've lost weight last camp. I went to, you said that you were not at goal weight. I'm curious if you'd reached it at this point, almost. So, last camp, Audrey, I'm going to bet I had just come off of quite a bit of medical trauma, whether it was knee replacements, breast cancer, septic infection, all that kind of stuff, knee surgery. Yeah, all of that. The knee surgery came after the other things. And my body was in revolt. It was, I won't say I was eating perfectly, but I will say that my body was under a lot of stress. And when your body is under stress, it will hold weight. So that's where I was. So I am now past most of that and feeling much better about my world. So thank you for asking. Cheryl, how can I help you today?
Okay, so I have a personal trainer, and we're going to be, it's going to be a year, I guess this month, because we are in April. And I had an injury a week ago, Saturday. I fell and I bruised myself really bad. Luckily, I didn't hurt my good bionic knees, but, anyhow, I wanted to take a month off because I was very stressed and I thought I would need it. So, fast forward after a week, I thought, you know what? I can do it. We'll just do it, on my terms. I won't do whatever. So, my dilemma, my situation is that I love her as a personal trainer because I've never in my life thought I would ever have a personal trainer. She's gotten me to do lots of things, helped me be stronger, and I have a lot of hope for the future to get even stronger. But we do not agree on, for example, she doesn't think I should eat any dairy. And I eat a lot of Greek yogurt and cottage cheese. That's part of my, daily. And I feel anxiety because I don't want to lie about it, but I mean, I also don't want, I would like her to help me with suggestions about other things to do with my diet. Like tonight, she's going to call me later because I'm making her accountable. I said, I need somebody at night to check in, and I'm going to go on my stationary bike while I talk to her for like 15 minutes. I kind of put that there. So I don't know if that's a question. Did you get a question out of that?
And I'm going to go straight to I'm going to tell you what to do.
Thank you.
Carol, you're the authority of your body. You know what feels good in your body. You know what works. You know what satisfies you. You know what you like. Why do you get anxious when she offers you a differing opinion?
Well, I feel like she says it. It's almost like, I'm a retired teacher. It's almost like when I was working and the principal would say something that I totally didn't agree with of the time, but you don't want to, confront them. Okay,
Well,
that,
you don't have to confront her,
yeah.
right? If Corinne were to walk in here right now and go, Kathy, you're just about at goal weight. Girl, you should wear crop tops. Corinne wears crop tops, right? I'd be like, no, thank you. Thank you for your input, Corinne, but I'm not a crop top girl. Never, never have been, not going to be. It's not my thing. If she will walk in here and go, girl, you won't keep that weight off. You better cut out all dairy. I'll be like, well, I guess I'm going to try and figure out how to keep my dairy and keep my weight off because I'm not giving up dairy. I love cheese. I love Greek yogurt. I love y'all ever tried the ratio Greek yogurt? I love that stuff. Put some strawberries on, a little granola. I am a happy camper, not giving it up. So you get to decide what advice you take from your experts and what you don't. If your doctor were to tell you, Cheryl, you could run a you you should get out there and run a half marathon. Would you tell him, no, I might walk, I might do a 5K for you, but I'm not doing a half marathon, dude. Sorry. Right? You can do the same thing with that trainer. You get to be the authority of your body and what goes in it. Okay? And that's honestly, everybody hear this. That's what we teach at No BS. That's why we teach you what your hunger signals are, what your enough signals are, what foods work in your body, what foods help you poop, how to get your rest at night, all that kind of stuff. That's why we don't give you a plan because you are in charge of what happens. Okay? Trainers, if I have coached one person, I've coached 25. On my trainer wants me to eat 150, 130, 150 grams of protein a day, and I can't get it in. I'm like, then don't eat it. I gain weight when I do that. That's because you're eating past enough, right? Don't have to. You get to choose. You have all the power about what goes in. I would tell her, I really appreciate you, and I love that we're training together, and I love that, you're sharing all your knowledge with me. I'm keeping my dairy.
Okay, that's pretty straightforward, and I should be able to say that,
So when I say all that, how do you feel? Are you like, oh girl, but you don't know this
No, I
girl?
feel, and this is the thing. I mean, I am. I'm like 24 years older than her, definitely old enough to be her mother. So I don't know. It's a very weird, I'm not afraid of her, but I know like I kind of walk on eggshells. But now that you said that I'll just say it works for me. And I mean, it really does. Because at one point she was saying, oh, when you eat dairy, it clogs up your system. No, it doesn't. That's one thing, it's
When she eats dairy, it might clog up her system.
right,
When
right.
someone else eats dairy, it might clog up their system. But if it doesn't for you, then I would just tell her, dairy works for me and I love it.
Okay.
Okay. Sometimes when we have these experts in our lives, when we're really paying attention to experts, we get a little stressed if what they tell us doesn't really agree with what we feel inside.
Okay.
I'll use do y'all know who Dr. Mark Hyman is? I follow him on Instagram. Like he's like this super healthy dude.
Yep. He
If
wrote
he could convert everybody in the world to a plant-based diet, he would.
Yeah.
This girl is not going to go on a plant-based diet. I love my meat. Now, does he think that's a bad idea? Probably. But guess what? He's not the authority in me. I can look to him and find what information I like about him and take some of that advice, and I get to filter it and decide how I'm going to live my life.
Great point. Great point. Yeah, I bought his book, or 10 Day Something. But yeah, no, that's great. So I'm anxious. I'm looking for, I shouldn't say anxious. I'm looking forward to telling her that. So yeah, because I shouldn't be ashamed of eating a Greek yogurt and cottage cheese. It's not like it's candy and whatever, which I could eat too, but not.
Well, and let's be honest, women our age, I don't know how old you are, but as we grow older, we need more calcium too. And
True.
yeah. And if she's 25 years younger than you are, she hadn't had a bone density test yet.
Right.
Right? So she's working on information for maybe for what she understands about her body and advising you, which is what we do. That's okay. You just know yourself enough to know what's good for you.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you. That was perfect.
You're welcome.
Thank
Take
you.
care.
You too. Bye.
All right, Carissa, I'm running a little long, but let's do this. Let's see if we can help you. Here she comes. Hi.
Hey, sorry for the way I look. I came in and realized the call was going on and thought, okay, no better call to
Okay.
jump on.
So
I'm just glad you're here.
posted in the Facebook group today. We had a pretty big family drama this weekend with a physical altercation with my daughter's husband, so our son-in-law. He had a few too many beers, and he really, we've seen this before. He sort of goes psychotic. He does not need to be drinking. Anyway, him and my, he pushed my sister, and then he got in a physical altercation with my husband, and then he pushed me. And so, like, we had to call the cops, and teenagers were there. It was my son's 18th birthday party. And so I'm processing some of the feelings without eating. I did well for Saturday night. Like, Saturday night, the first thing my brain says is, oh my gosh, I need some sugar. We had, you know, we had plenty of stuff around for the birthday party, and I did well that night. But I think what my brain keeps offering me is, because we've had several stressors lately, and this is being the top of it all, my daughter's not speaking to us. She is pregnant at the at this time, newly pregnant. She's blaming it all on my husband. I've tried to talk to my husband about how we maybe could have handled it a little bit different, and he got really defensive as far as that goes. And he was not in the wrong. We just, I wish we had not let it get to a physical altercation. So, I've tried doing Coach Lizzie stuff, you know, where she does the, okay, I'm
I'm
upset.
feeling this and I'm allowed to feel it.
Yeah, but I'm not, I don't know, maybe it's too fresh. Maybe I can't not get all the feelings out, but I just feel like a spiral is coming, because I feel like it's not, you know, it's not like the altercation's over and now it's done. No, the altercation over, is over, and we have a broken family. So, because at this point, I mean, he laid hands on my sister and me. He will not be allowed at any family function. And, you know, of course, she texted the next day and said, I support my husband. And she's got a lot of victim mentality. It's always everybody else's fault. So I know that I'm not going to process all the feelings. I just don't want to eat or drink over them. And I feel like.
So here's what I would suggest to you. I would not try to change my feelings about this. You are allowed to be upset, unhappy, sad, frustrated, afraid, whatever. You know, you could probably make a list of 10 or 12 different feelings you have about this, defeated, you know, whatever they might be. I would not try to change one single one of them because you are allowed to feel whatever you need to feel. When you process a feeling, just like Lizzie's video or any three-step process I can give you, the very most important things that you have to do is acknowledge it and normalize it. Okay? So you acknowledge it by calling it by name, and that's what Lizzie does when she says, I'm feeling this and I'm allowed to feel this way. The next step is normalizing it. Of course I feel this way. Of course I feel A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, my family is hurting right now. My family is divided right now. We had this situation at the house. My husband is upset. My daughter is upset. Of course I feel this way. And it allows that feeling to be there, because if you resist it, if you try and change it too hard or try and push it away or anything like that, you're only going to amplify it. You're only going to draw attention, more attention to it, rather than just allowing it to be there and sitting with it. And it's that allowing it to be there and sitting with it piece that people have a hard time with, right? Because then we're starting to crack up that vulnerability piece, right? The tears come, the what ifs come, you know, all of that starts to happen. But if you allow it to be there, your brain will move into a space where it starts to solve. Well, you know, tomorrow, maybe I'll call this person, or next week, this might happen. Or, you know, it's okay for us to be in this place right now because of whatever. The best way I can describe this to you is, somebody really, really hurt my feelings one time. I mean, like, devastated me. And, you know, I can, I, Thinking about it right now, I can call it up. I can feel it in my stomach. My chest gets tight and all the things. And I journaled about that every day. I ugly journaled. I got mad. I wrote this person letters. I told them how terrible they were. I talked about my hurt. And by day five, I was forgiving them and justifying their actions. That's what allowing a feeling does for you. It allows you to get all that muck and everything straight in your head so you figure out what you want to do with it.
I guess I feel like if I allow, because I mean, of course, I turn to tears immediately. If I feel like if I allow it, I don't have time to just wallow in, sit in my bedroom and cry for 4 hours. I don't. We're
It's
leaving
not.
in the morning for a grandbaby, and you know what I'm saying? Like, I still have to function. So,
But you won't. What if I tell you might not wallow for 4 hours? I would jump in the shower and I've done this a million times. When I feel a cry coming, I get in the shower and I cry it out in the shower, and I picture all that emotion releasing from me and going down the drain with the rest of the water. Crying is a release. Crying actually releases a hormone into your system called oxytocin. Y'all know what that does? It is a feel-good hormone. It's crying is a repair and a release to your system. So it could be that acknowledging, normalizing, and actually feeling your feeling moves it through faster than, trying to work around it or trying to suppress it or trying to not think about it, because it's just going to come back up.
right.
Right?
Yeah. Do you have any ideas for like journal prompts, or should I just look through? I don't even know what I would look through as far as prompts.
My favorite journal prompt is, right now I feel this and here's why.
Okay.
Okay. That's what that was the one I started journaling with and still journal with to this day. Because y'all know me, I'm the feelings coach. I'm how to feel the hard stuff. I really, really believe that my nervous system settled down when I allowed myself to start feeling my feelings. Because it there was there's a self-acceptance piece that comes in when you allow yourself to feel. Just like when I was talking to Debbie, she doesn't allow herself to feel. She's got that wall up. Therefore, there may be a self-acceptance piece that she hasn't really uncovered yet. And so when you can allow yourself to feel all the things you think are hard to feel, you give yourself the gift of acknowledging and loving yourself enough to accept what you're feeling.
I know we're running late. Will you just tell me one more time? I know I'm going to go back and watch it, but
It's
for
okay.
tonight and tomorrow, it probably won't be up. So, what was the journal prompt one more time?
Today I feel this and name it,
Okay.
and here's why.
Okay.
I'll look for your post on Facebook too, and
Okay.
I'll put
Yeah,
that in.
I've been working. So, I posted it this morning and then I've been working. So, I did read a few, but
I bet you've gotten all the love, girl. Just know, sometimes people are well-intentioned. Use your filter. What is helpful to you and what is not? Okay. And feel free to come and ask coaches, and I'll help you process through there as
Okay.
well. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Take care. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Okay. Let me just scan the chat real quick. Make sure there's no other questions in here for me, because there's nothing in the Q&A. I don't see anything, but you all know where to find me if you have any questions. I'm an Ask Coaches. You can email me at support. You can tag me in the Facebook group. I'm here for you. Okay. Let me know how I can support you and how I can love you. All right. You guys take care. Have a good night.